Today we're going to be talking about Christian gratitude, and this is our response to a generous and gracious God. It is through God's grace that we have any hope of eternal life, of salvation, and it's through God's grace that he sent his son. He planned this from the very beginning, and we need to remember how important it is that we need to express gratitude, not only to God, but to our fellow man whenever we have the opportunity. I found a quote from somebody I don't know, but I thought it was a really well-worded quote. Ann Boskamp is just a denominational blogger, but this sentence really hammered home what I wanted to talk about tonight. Gratitude is a virtue most worthy of our cultivation. Indeed, in all the Christian life, gratitude is to be planted, watered, dressed, and harvested. Gratitude gets at the very essence of what it means to be created, finite, fallen, redeemed, and sustained by the God of all grace. I think that words exactly what we want to look at when we're looking at Christian gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18, we read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So in our recent study of Romans, we've come across this a little bit, but we saw that the lack of thankfulness is the basis for God's judgment for all mankind. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings and their senseless hearts were darkened." So the Lord provides all we need. We should always be thankful for what we have been given by God. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to read a few verses out of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And can I get somebody to read this for us tonight?
"Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
So Jesus talks here about what God does for us, what we should be thankful for. He tells us that God provides everything for every living being on this planet. God provides everything that we would ever need, and very likely many of the things that we desire. We see that he also mentions the Gentiles here and how they seek these things eagerly. And again, referring back to our study in Romans, we saw that the conviction, the judgment, was against both Jew and Gentile, all humankind. God was taking his wrath out upon all men, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. even though they weren't under the law. They were under the law that God established at the beginning of time when he created this planet. God established a moral law that everybody is bound by. And the letter in Romans tells us that you should be able to recognize that just by looking at what God has created. You should understand that. God builds this into us. But some people have the ability to scorch that part of their conscience away. And so this gratitude that we need to have towards our God for what he does for us in our daily lives is something that we need to look at tonight. And one of the things we're going to be looking at is how easy it is to forget that and how important it is that we get into the habit of remembering. We need to thank God for all of our blessings. And this needs to become a habit for us because humans tend to forget things. We tend to misremember. We tend to put things behind us, think things are complete, that sense of accomplishment. But we need to always remember what God has done for us, thanking him every day for what he does. And we need to thank each other for the kindness and love we show each other as well. Those are things that are really important because I don't know your heart and you don't know mine. But when we tell each other how we feel, especially when we give that thanks to each other, that's how we know. We deserve much worse than what the Lord gives us. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then John 3:16 tells us what God did for us. He loved us so much that he gave us his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might through him be saved. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. God has provided everything that we need, especially a way out of sin. And he did that for us. A debt that we cannot repay, he paid for us. And again, referring back to our study in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will repay each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-serving and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will give wrath and indignation. He has given us the way out of this. This set of verses tells us he has, for those who persevere in doing good and seeking glory, honor, and immortality, those things that only God can provide. That's the way out into eternal life. But there's an opposite side of that as well. God has given us a way out, but so many people will take the other path, that broad path that leads to destruction and leads to God's wrath and indignation. And it's a fearsome thing to be in the hand of the wrath of God. Through Christ, we are blessed. God has given us that way to life. Again, in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, this is a portion of what, this is pretty much what Dean read to us this morning to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. It reads, "For while we were still helpless, in the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone may dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that in while we were sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we have what we deserve, and we have what God has provided for us, the blessings that we have through him, and we need to be gracious and show gratitude for what God has done for us. Ephesians chapter 1 is a great story of God's blessings upon us. Chapter 1, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he favored us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he set before him. Regarding his plan of the fullness of times, to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will, to the end that we who were the first hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, of the promise, who is a first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." We absolutely need to show our gratitude to God every chance we get. God has done all of this for us. And the Ephesian letter tells us that this was planned from the beginning of time. God knew we would be his enemies, knew we would sin, knew we would fall short, yet he planned for our salvation. How can we not be grateful for that? So what can we learn about gratitude? Let's look at a few things. What does the following say about gratitude? And this is where I want you to get involved. Let's look at Psalm 100. We're going to be reading all 5 verses of that. And I'd like a volunteer to read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5.
"Shout joyfully to the Lord all year. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations."
So what does it say about gratitude? And it doesn't have to just be Faye. You all listen to her read it. What does this tell us about? Shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord with jubilation. Come before him with rejoicing. What does this say about how grateful we should be to our God? Okay.
It makes it seem like it's every minute.
Absolutely.
Your sentence, it's for God. He made it.
And isn't that what he told us? That we should be able to look at his creation and see him in it? And we should be grateful for everything that we have because he gave it all to us? Let's look at another set of verses. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Who wants to read that one?
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you.
All right. So what are we to give thanks for? Everything that we have. Nothing that we have is anything that God did not give us. There's nothing that we do that God did not provide. Nothing. Okay.
Sometimes that's hard to say.
Absolutely. Because this life has good and bad, doesn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be grateful for the trials, for the tribulations we go through. But who here can say that they've gone through something that was hard that they didn't learn from? We aren't omniscient. We aren't born with all of the knowledge that we acquire through our life. If we don't have the hard times, how do we learn? It can't all be rose gardens. So we need to pray without ceasing, rejoice always, even in the hard times, and in everything, give thanks, whether we are at the top of that sine wave or the bottom of it, whether we're on the high tide or the low tide in our life. It doesn't matter. We need to give thanks for all things that God gives us.
Ed.
The attitude is, I did this, I did that, I did everything. Christian's attitude should be, we give thanks to God because he blessed us.
Absolutely. Carolyn, did you have a comment? Or was that Ann?
No, it was me.
Okay.
Saying some of that to some of the folk here who are non-believers and telling them that I'm thanking God for this position that I'm in and deriving some strength. I will gain something from it, whether I live or die, you know, and watching their faces has been, well, it's something that they need to hear, but you can see that it's either she must be lying or, you know, so I'm getting to delve into it a bit more deeply with them. But yeah, it's disbelief, and I can understand. I can understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carolyn, that attitude to live as Christ, to die as gain. Absolutely. Carol.
The other day, and when the fire happened, she had to move out of her house and in to the terrace where she had to sit, had all the needs that she had. And it's like it's amazing that God put her right where he wanted her to be there, where she would have all the extra help that she needed. And one of the other things that she told me that we chuckled about was the fact she kept praying and praying. I don't know what my kids are going to do when they have to go through all of this stuff. Well, his answer might have been the longer. And she's going, but now she can understand a little more why that came into her life, whereas at the time it.
Yeah, it's really hard for us to see the good out of the bad. It really is. Because we don't see what God sees. We don't know what God's plan is for us. We only see that something is painful or that it hurts. It's really hard to see that something good could come of that. But quite often it does. It's amazing what God can do with whatever direction we choose. I know I have tried to be as good an example for my staff as I could. I had one of my technicians say, how can you maintain an attitude when that robber pointed a gun at your head and said, give me those drugs or I'll blow you away. And I said, you know what? The worst that he can do is kill me. And my family will be sad for that, but my trials will be over. I said, there's not really anything he can do to me that's going to hurt me. I said, but chances are he's like any other of these idiots out there. He's just flapping his gums. And so I comply with what he says and he goes away and no one gets hurt. But if it went wrong and something happened, so be it. But again, what's he going to do to me besides take my life? Let's look at one more set of verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, if I can get somebody to read that.
Let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day is returned. That the day of his return is when.
Okay. So gratitude towards each other, encouraging each other in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together. This is kind of used as a cudgel sometimes to beat people over the head to come in. But I want to take a different stance on this. Let's take a look at something a little different. I think we can look at this as building habits. It's important for Christians to get in the habit of doing things because we are human and we get out of the habit of things and then they go by the wayside. So how important is a habit, is a good habit, to Christian living and gratitude? So I put on the screen here a couple of things to think about getting into a habit of doing things. Set a low bar. This is not a New Year's resolution. We need to set the bar low so that we will be successful. Go for ruthless consistency. I'm not telling you that you need to read your entire Bible weekly, every week for a year. I'm telling you, read 10 verses. That's what we're doing, 10 or 15 verses. While we're reading through the Bible this year. And it's to the point where you can even just have somebody read it to you. You can buy the audiobook. You don't even have to read it. So we set the bar low. We go for that ruthless consistency where we just maintain, where we get into the habit of doing those things. And then think about good and bad things that will happen if you do or don't establish the habit. So for instance, For instance, the vast majority of what we do is simply habit. We either pray or not as a function of habit. When you sit down at the dinner table, do you pray? When you go to bed at night, do you pray? When you wake up in the morning or you get in the shower, do you pray? And if you don't, why not? Probably if you do, you're in the habit of doing it. And if you don't, you're not. How easy is it to build that habit? We read our Bibles or not as a function of habit. Do you get in the habit of doing this? Do you set that aside, that time aside to do that? Those 10 or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it may be, so that you can get into the habit of doing that on a daily basis. We go to church or not as a function of habit. We get used to doing it, and it feels weird if you don't go. That's because you're in a habit of doing it. And in the last couple of years, we got out of the habit of doing that. Hence, a full congregation this morning and about a third of our members tonight. We've gotten out of the habit of doing that. So the writer of Hebrews warned that some people had gotten out of the habit of meeting with their fellow believers to everyone's detriment. They didn't intend to stop meeting together. They didn't stop meeting together as an act of rebellion. They simply got out of the habit of doing it. Most of life is that way. Did you exercise today? If not, it is likely not a habit that you formed. Did you have quiet time today? Did you set aside some time just to contemplate, to pray to God? If not, then you haven't cemented that habit of having that quiet time. Are you giving regularly? If no, well, it's time to form a habit of doing so. And are you memorizing God's word? I can't think of something that would be a better habit to get into than memorizing the Bible, than memorizing verses that mean a whole lot to you, being able to just pull those out of memory and use them when you need them. It's amazing to me how many times I've used memory verses that I learned in Sunday school when I was growing up in Anchorage to have conversations with people at work. Because those were ground into me when I was young. But now they have application. Now they mean something. Now it's important for me to remember those things because I can use them. I can plant the seed where it needs to be planted. And again, as we discussed this morning, I may not see the growth. I may not see the fruit, but the seed was planted. And that's what matters. Having those discussions with your friends and neighbors who don't know God or haven't gotten into the habit of knowing God. Because we as humans need to get these things into our lives, and we need to be habitual about doing them. If the last 2 years taught us anything, it's how easy it is to get out of the habit of worshiping our Lord. Satan used the last 2 years to his benefit. I don't know if you've seen any of the statistics, but church attendance nationwide has gone downhill. These 2 years of pandemic where governments cracked down and tried to get people not to be in social gathering places really had a huge impact on people's spiritual lives. And so now it's time to form those habits again, to get back in the habit of being grateful to our God, being grateful for what he's given us, being grateful that we have this place to come to, because there are Christians meeting around the world right now who don't have this, who meet in secret, and who are in fear of their lives for doing so. So we need to be grateful for those things. We need to be grateful that we have such a great support center here, that we have brothers and sisters who love us, who are willing to do what they can to help us, and we need to be willing to do the same. We need to get into the habit of being there for our brothers and sisters. That's all I had for tonight. I just wanted to put that bug in your ear, that we can look at Hebrews as not a stick, but a carrot. People have gotten out of the habit. It's time to get back into the habit of being grateful for what God has given us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we invite you to be one. We want you to participate, to be a part of the ministry that goes on here, to help minister to the saints here and to those who don't know God. We want to be known throughout our neighborhoods as those people that people ask, why do you have this faith? We want to be people who are that bright shining light on the hill, that people recognize something different about you. You're quirky. There's something weird about you. Well, that's good. I'm glad you noticed. I want to be noticed as being weird.
Know that I've just been coming out of the black hole, but I appreciate the kindness that everybody gave to me, and this has become a
yeah, a lot of our number have gone through the loss of a spouse. That's this life. It is what it is. We have what we have for a short time, and then it's gone. But we need to be grateful for what we had. We need to be grateful always for the time that we have. We need to be grateful for our family, for our friends, for our spiritual family that supports us. And we need to be willing to show that all the time. So let's get into the habit of doing that. As we sing this song, give thanks. If you would please be standing.
Domine, give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Say I am strong. The Lord has done for us. Amen. Say I am because what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Thank you for all for being here tonight. We invite you to be with our to join us for our next time in the building here. It'll be Wednesday evening where we'll continue our study of Romans. We hope that you can be with us. We do have meetings throughout the week on Zoom. And if you're interested in any of those, our prayer meeting on Monday or our Thursday class is concluded for now, correct? Yeah. So we'll be starting that up in a few weeks. I think Dean has another idea going on there, but we encourage you to join us for any of those that you're interested in.